helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. In the 2006 film entitled Idiocracy, a soldier is in a top secret hibernation program and he ends up waking up in a future run by idiots. The premise was that since the quote-unquote smart people spent all their time working rather than having babies, the unintelligent masses ended up taking over society and government, leading to this idiocracy. Now, I found the premise ridiculous, but it did make me think. What would happen if these so-called smart people actually did control the world? Now, personally, I think what we'd end up with is not an idiocracy, but a corruptocracy. A nation, even a world, run by corrupt bureaucrats. Now, some of you may be saying, Paul, what would lead you to such a dystopian view of the future run by these elite intellectual people? Well, just take a look at Washington, D.C., I think you'll agree that a corruptocracy is not such a far-fetched idea at all. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. My name is Paul Engel. You've joined me here at the Constitution Study. And today, we're going to take a look at the corruptocracy that we currently call our federal government. Now, I've talked before about the corruption, the malfeasance that took place during the 2020 elections. I've read your reports and articles about the fraud, but the point I've always stressed was the states that violated the Constitution by illegally appointing electors in a manner other than that designated by the state's legislature. For that, by the way, I've had videos taken off of YouTube, which, by the way, if you watch my YouTube channel, you may want to find other ways of following me, since obviously YouTube doesn't want you knowing about elections, and we've got an election coming up. Yes, you can find me on Rumble and Gab TV, and you can always find it on my website, Constitution Study. But as we're learning more and more about the corruption and malfeasance that took place in the 2020 election, let's start by taking a look at what's being put in place for the 2022 election. Now, there certainly is a lot on the Biden administration plate right now. Record high inflation, supply chain issues, Biden's approval rating pretty much being in the toilet. We have all of this going on, and I talked a little bit before this, but I want to come back to Executive Order 14019. Now, this executive order basically directs all federal agencies to do what they can to increase voter registration and turnout, including, by the way, working with certain selected third-party organizations approved by the White House. This is a, some say thinly veiled, I say blatant attempt to influence the 2022 election by manipulating voter registration. Remember, the federal government has absolutely zero to do with voter registration. Zilch, nada, nothing. The very idea that a federal agency is meddling with a state's requirement that people register before they vote is in itself an illegal and corrupt act. But as we look at these approved agencies, does anybody think these are going to be right-wing agencies? They're going to be Republican-favoring agencies? Or do you think the vast majority of them are going to be agencies trying to get out the vote for Democratic candidates? See, that's the problem. The Democrats are looking at the 2022 elections. They're looking at voter sentiment, and they're scared. So you have a corrupt president, a president that acts more like a king than a president, simply ordering the executive agencies he oversees to violate the law, to violate the Constitution. And what are people doing about it? You want to know what a corruptocracy looks like? This is what one looks like. In order to remain in power, the Biden administration is violating the law and manipulating the voter registration. But Paul, they're for federal elections. There is one and only one federal election in the entire United States. That's when the presidential electors vote for president in December. The federal government has no say in these elections. With the one exception is Congress can, by law, deal with the times and manner of choosing members of the House and members of the Senate. But we're talking about voter registration. We're not talking about the manner of voting for House reps and senators. We're talking about administration trying to manipulate the vote by playing partisan politics with a state function, namely the registration of voters. Now, if this surprises you in any way, shape, or form, it really shouldn't. And the problem doesn't rest solely in the White House. And in fact, it doesn't even reside solely in the Biden administration. See, Senator Grassley apparently has received reports from whistleblowers inside the FBI making some truly, I would say, earth-shattering allegations. According, and I'm reading from the letter, that some of these allegations include, it has been alleged that the FBI developed information in 2020 about Hunter Biden's criminal, financial, and related activity. It is further alleged that in August 2020, FBI Supervisory Intelligence Analyst Brian Auten opened an assessment which was used by an FBI headquarters team to improperly discredit negative Hunter Biden information as disinformation and caused investigative activity to cease. Now, think about this for a second. August of 2020, just months before the presidential election, we have a FBI supervisory intelligence analyst using FBI resources to allegedly improperly discredit information about the criminal activity of the son of one of the candidates. Criminal activity, by the way, that apparently is linked not simply to the son, Hunter, but also to the father, Joe. In other words, our sitting president. And these allegations were used to destroy, to declare as misinformation, information that was actually verifiable. Information that was verifiable, was verified by the FBI, was labeled as disinformation. You remember when the New York Post was kicked off of Twitter for pointing out what was some of the information from the laptop. How many people had their arguments about this verifiable data simply poo-pooed because, well, the FBI says it's misinformation? And now apparently we find out that was not done because it was disinformation. It was promoted by a specific person within the FBI. Again, from Senator Grassley's letter. Importantly, it's been alleged to my office that Auten's assessment was opened in August 2020, which is the same month that Senator Johnson and I received an unsolicited and unnecessary briefing from the FBI that purported to relate to our Biden investigation, and a briefing for which the contents were later leaked in order to paint the investigation in a false light. Oh, so the FBI gave them an unnecessary briefing, one they didn't ask for, and used that to help paint their investigation wrong, falsely? And then later in the letter, Senator Grassley says, hey, wait a second, back in July of 2020, we see Chuck Schumer, Mark Warner, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff. They were sent a letter with information in it that was used to attempt to tie the investigations of Senators Johnson and Grassley to foreign disinformation. Do you remember how that disinformation work kept coming up back in 2020? Now, some of that information was later leaked to the media to help paint their investigation into Joe Biden as a foreign disinformation campaign. Even with evidence of Joe Biden on video claiming, with pride, claiming that he had used a quid pro quo to intimidate the president of Ukraine to remove a prosecutor from a case of a company that involved his son. The letter also notes that in October of 2020, another investigation was shut down by Assistant Special Agent in Charge Thibault. What's interesting is the FBI headquarters team that was investigating, that was shutting down the investigation, claimed that there was a risk of disinformation, even though the allegations that were in the investigative shutdown were either verified or verifiable via criminal warrants. And ASAC Thibault, allegedly ordered the matter closed, never provided a valid reason as to why, at least, which is, by the way, required by FBI guidelines. You see, these are allegations of the Federal Bureau of Investigation meddling in the 2020 elections. Now, if they were willing to meddle in the 2020 elections, does anybody think they won't meddle in the 2022 elections? Especially knowing that the president, the chief executive whom they work for, is already attempting to meddle in the 2022 elections by manipulating voter registration. And these allegations of tampering in the 2020 elections deal with senior FBI and Justice Department officials, what is commonly referred to as the swamp, the permanent bureaucratic class. Now, does that not sound like, if not in a corruptocracy, it certainly smells like one. There certainly is the image of corruption in the FBI, and not just as part of the Biden administration. Because remember, this all took place before the Biden. We were still under the Trump administration. And we see allegations by whistleblowers of the Department of Justice manipulating the data in order to sway the election. Now think about it, because all of this was based on the allegation that, even though it was verifiable that the information about Hunter Biden was disinformation. Think about the last almost 2 years and how much the swamp, the governments, especially the federal government, has tried to be able to label things as disinformation to have them removed from your site, to hide from you information that they don't want to see based on their allegation that it is disinformation. Forget freedom of speech, forget freedom of the press. We need to hide from you information that's not good for you. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a corruptocracy. Or let's take a look at Attorney General Merrick Garland. Now, there was a recent poll out from the Judicial Crisis Network and CRC Research. And they looked at 1,600 registered voters back in July, or earlier in July, and they found that 58% agreed that Merrick Garland should enforce federal law prohibiting protests at the homes of Supreme Court justices. 58%. And 60% believe that President Biden should condemn those kinds of actions as well. These attempts to intimidate and manipulate justices of the Supreme Court. Now, in that survey, 52% of Democrats and 71% of Republicans agreed that seeking other ways to disrupt the justices' private lives undermines democracy and should not be tolerated. 85% of Republicans and 61% of Democrats also said that offering bounties for tips about where justices are dining is extreme and just goes way too far. Now, in the light of all of this, what do we see coming out of the Department of Justice and the Attorney General's office? Remember, the same Attorney General's office that rushed to take this the National School Board Association letter to smear parents that are concerned about what their children are learning in school, that to label them as domestic terrorists without any evidence of violence or any other action. What are they doing again about actual violence? Little. Since the Dobbs case was opinion was announced, we have seen violence across the country at churches and pregnancy resource centers, and the DOJ has done nothing. Now, in this survey, 84% of registered voters agree that those acts of violence and vandalism should not be tolerated. They should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Now, this is one spot where I understand the sentiment, but these are not federal crimes. But it would be nice to see the Department of Justice to use its powers to help local law enforcement to find, prosecute, and if convicted, punish the people performing these acts of vandalism and violence. But they're not. Even the threat of violence from pro-life organizations are taken with great interest, but violence against them, it's all but ignored. Now, I have to take a break, and I have more afterwards. But before I go, I want to talk to you about Healthy Cells Focus and Recall. It is a vitamin supplement designed to boost your short-term focus and your long-term brain power. It comes in a travel-ready, easy-to-use gel pack. I use it regularly. It, you know, you get to the end of the day, you start getting a little fuzzy, but you don't want that cup of coffee or that sugary drink or that energy drink with all the caffeine and sugar because of the after effects. Well, I simply reach for a packet of the Focus and Recall, and in a few minutes, I'm right online again. I'm firing on all cylinders and ready to go. So go to HealthyCell.com and use the code OUTLOUD. They'll give you 20% off your first order. So go to HealthyCell.com, try out any of their products, put your cart together. I, again, love the Focus and Recall. Use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. They will give you 20% off that very first order.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and save 20%. By using promo code OUTLOUD.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're looking at the corruptocracy that pretty much is the federal government right now. By the way, this is not a partisan. The corruption existed under Trump, under Bush, under Obama. This is nothing new. It is just getting worse and worse, like an infection. It's growing to the part where, well, and many people begin to think that the entire system, the entire organization, the entire organ, all the organs of government are so infected as to no longer be viable. Now, in the first segment, we talked about the meddling, the FBI meddling in elections, in the 2020 election specifically. We talked about Joe Biden trying to meddle in voter registration, assumedly to give his political party an advantage in the upcoming midterms. We even talked about the Attorney General and the Department of Justice, let's say, being uneven in their how they deal with threats and actions of violence, where they have gone after people who dared to enter the Capitol on January 6th. But, oh, yeah, you vandalize and damage pro-life organizations. Ah, that's fine. No problem. Don't worry about that. But I want to go back to some of the Hunter Biden stuff, because it's not simply the FBI. See, it's the Delaware Attorney General's office is the one that's tasked with investigating the allegations against Hunter Biden. Now, again, he hasn't been found guilty, so it's still allegations. But it's not just Hunter. It's many parts of the Biden family and their business partners. And according to three current and former DOJ officials, the Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office is not up to the job. Now, one career official who's familiar with the probe says the Delaware office needs help. There is no way it can tackle everything it needs to, even if it tried. They also pointed out that if a single one of the dozens of issues had been alleged again about Bush or Trump families, well, there'd have been special counsels appointed immediately, yet we still don't have one dealing with Biden. Now, why is that? How could that be? I mean, in March of this year, the New York Times reported that the U.S. Attorney for Delaware was overseeing this criminal investigation, but we're still not hearing, you know, that a grand jury was formed to gather evidence in a wide-ranging examination, including things such as tax fraud, criminal foreign lobbying, and even money laundering. There have been revelations of both Hunter and James Biden profiting from being representatives of communist China in their financial dealings. Of course, we have Hunter Biden's role in Ukraine and his appointment to Burisma Holdings, where he made a nice salary of $50,000 a month without any apparent expertise. But we also find actual recordings of Hunter Biden bragging about his influence over his father, saying, and I quote, "He'll talk about anything I want him to that he believes in. If I say it's important to me, then he will work a way in which to make it part of his platform. My dad respects me more than he respects anyone in the world, and I know that to be certain, so it's not going to be about whether my dad thinks it's going to affect his politics." That those are the words, the recording of Hunter Biden saying, "Hey, I got influence over my dad to put it in his political platform." This level of corruption has been hidden from the American people, at least by the news media. And the question is, yeah, okay, is the Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office prepared for this? My question is, why has there not been a special counsel? Someone who is intentionally outside of that system that doesn't have the appearance of a conflict of interest. Because remember, the U.S. Attorney's Office works for the President of the United States. The U.S. Attorney for Delaware is an employee of the President of the United States, whose son is the one being investigated. Even if the president himself doesn't go to the U.S. Attorney's Office and say, "Hey, you know, take it easy on my son," it's human nature. If your employer's dad, the person who has control over whether or not you have a job, the future of your career, if his son is in trouble, it's easy to understand that people might, they might not be as full-throated in their attempt to investigate in such situations. This is a corruptocracy. Because as the insider pointed out, if this had been Trump's child, right, there would have been no question about a special counsel. They'd have been leaving skid marks on the floor to get a special counsel. This would have been news in every major media outlet across the country and probably across around the world. But you see, we live in a corruptocracy where the FBI is covering up for it, where the DOJ appears to be slow walking it. I don't know. Maybe the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware is doing everything they can. But do they have all the resources they need? Not according to these three gentlemen. Or I should say, these three whistleblowers. How can you expect justice when you have a political operatives, when you have a swamp placing their thumb on the scales of justice? And let's go back to the election part. I have to bounce around because these things are so interwoven. Even many Democrats are starting to criticize their own party because they've been found meddling in Republican primary elections. See, both the Democratic Governors Association and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee have made substantial ad buys to support more Republicans that have been endorsed by Trump in their primaries. Now, here's what I find interesting. Representative Dean Phillips, he's a Democrat out of Minnesota, posted on Twitter. He said, "I'm disgusted that hard-earned money intended to support Democrats is being used to boost Trump-endorsed candidates, particularly the far-right opponents of one of the most honorable Republicans in Congress." I want to break that down for just a second. See, the purpose of the Democratic Party is to get Democrats elected. Now, if members of the Democratic Governors Association, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, think the best way to get Democrats elected is to promote what they consider far right wing Republicans, isn't that the purpose of the money, was to support Democrats, in this case by giving them opponents they think would be easier to defeat? But you see, to me, this is a perfect example of the corruption of our election process at the state level. Right? I dealt previously at the federal level. I want to deal here at the state level. Because how many of you realize that primaries are taxpayer funded private elections for private organizations in order to limit your choices in the actual election? I'm going to say that again because it's a little complicated. Primaries are taxpayer-funded elections for private organizations in an attempt to limit your choices in the actual election. See, if you read the Constitution, there is no requirement for a primary. In fact, the only place the term primary is even found is you cannot be denied access to a primary if you don't pay a poll tax. It's the only place, it's like the 25th Amendment, no. 24th. It's one of the later amendments. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But I want you to think about this for a second. Political parties are not part of government. They are private organizations. They may even be nonprofits. I don't remember, but they are private organizations. They are private corporations. And these private corporations want to have elections or cauci in order to choose their champion. Why are the taxpayers of these states paying for these private organizations to hold elections? We don't do it for the NAACP or the NRA or any other private organizations. Only the politicians, only the ones that are seeking to control our lives. And then they take these primaries that the taxpayers have funded for, and they say, okay, you can't vote for who you want to because we are only going to allow the people we pick to go on the ballot. But even that process is corrupted. Just think of the last two presidential election cycles. In both 2016 and 2020, initially in the primary sequences, the leader as a Democratic campaign, the leader candidate for the Democratic nomination was Bernie Sanders. And in both situations, the party changed the rules. They changed things up so that someone else would be chosen other than Bernie Sanders. Now, again, Democratic Party, you're a private organization. You can choose whoever you want, however you want. But remember, you're using taxpayer money to do this. You are stealing taxpayer money to pay for these elections. If these entities want to have elections, fund it yourself. But you see, then the states have written the laws so that if you want to get on the ballot, you either have to be one of these parties and be picked as their champion, or you have to go through some other arduous process to end up on the ballot. In other words, the purpose of political primaries is to limit your choices when you go to the ballot box. So you pretty much have, you know, candidate A, you either have a donkey or you have an elephant. Sure, there's a couple other parties throwing around, but let's face it, you're either going to pick the, most people are either going to pick the rhino, or I should say the donkey or the elephant. But we paid to have our choices taken away from us. This is the corruptocracy that is our current election process. I believe that primaries should no longer be funded by the taxpayer. They should be funded by the parties, and each and every law in every state that uses the primary as the method of, as the sole method or the primary method of putting people on the ballot is wrong. I think those laws should be gotten rid of. There should be a simple, unified, equal process to get your name on the ballot. Now, maybe that signatures on a petition, but it shouldn't be the choice of a political party. That is a stealing choice from the American people. It's funny, as I travel the country, so many people have it in their mind that primaries are the way we choose our candidates. That's true within the party, but that's not what the Constitution requires. It's not even what the Constitution, as I understand it, of many of our states require. These are laws put in place so that the political parties, the two primary political parties, the Republicans and Democrats, hold sway over the election process. They get to choose who you have best access to vote for. They get to choose, hey, we want this person, not that person. And again, it's not just president. It's not just House and Senate. It is your state, it is your governor. It's your state legislature. It's your county school board. It's your county commission. It's your dog catcher. Think about it. I was on the phone earlier today setting up an interview with someone, and they said, I asked them when they will assume office, and they said, as soon as the election happens, because I'm running unopposed. I won in the primary, and since nobody else in my party will run on the ballot, I'm unopposed. And just think about that for a second. As a person in this county, your choice for this office was limited by the members of a political party. Now, I keep saying that elections must be free, fair, and transparent. Well, how free are they if the only way you stand a chance on the ballot is to sell your soul to a party? So people, I'm occasionally asked, Paul, why don't you run for office? I won't sell my soul to a party to get an office. If you want me, you're going to have to ask for me. And I'm going to be an independent because I don't want to sell my soul to the party in order to get to an office. Now, sure, at the, you know, at the county level, you're less selling your soul, right? It's more of a club. But the problem is the farther you move up the chain, as you go from county to state and eventually into the federal level, the more and more power the parties have. I remember meeting with a gentleman. He'll remain nameless. He was an official within a state agency in the state of New York. And he told us flat out, he says, once you get to a certain level, you're expected to tithe to the party. 10% of your salary is expected to be donated to the party as if it's a church. This is the corruption that we've allowed political parties to control our electoral process. And because it's been drilled into our head for years now that the only way to get on the ballot is to win a primary, we further empower the corruptocrats in the party. How do you think someone like a Nancy Pelosi or a Chuck Schumer wields so much power? Because they use that power to control their party members and to demand fealty from their party members to put them into these positions. Now, I have to take another break, but before I do, you know, I had an interesting interview. I just recorded an interview with one of our newer America Out Loud team members, Greg Bolden. You can listen to his podcast, Bolden, America in Bolden. You can find that on AmericaOutLoud.com. And we had a very interesting discussion. I hope you'll check out his podcast. I've listened to several of his episodes. I like his style. I like the way he goes about interviewing people and letting them speak without repeated interruptions. Now, Greg and I are just two of the people that have wonderful information on AmericaOutLoud.com. So please go there, make it a daily stop to find out what's going on. Take the stories, the podcasts, the videos, the articles that all of us are creating. You know, sure, you've got Greg and myself, but I've interviewed Patricia Antone. Dr. McCullough is on there. Wallace Garneau. These are all people that I've had wonderful discussions with, and you can find that information. Just go to AmericaOutLoud.com and then take that information you find and share it. Take the pages, the podcasts, the articles, share it. Share it with friends. Share it with family. Help others to see we are not alone. I know a lot of people that see what's going on, but they feel all by themselves. We are not alone. There are millions of us, but we can't find each other until we start sharing this information amongst ourselves. See, when you share this information, when you help find others that are interested, you help secure the blessings of liberty, not just for yourself and not just for your family, but for all the families that call this wonderful, great country home. So please do your part as we all work to secure the blessings of liberty.
Now the spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years. Brush, floss, repeat. We're told to use fluoride, which doesn't really address the acid-creating bacteria. That is where the dentist-recommended Spry Dental Defense System shines. Spry products contain xylitol, a natural sugar, which helps get rid of those nasty, smelly, acid-creating bacteria in our mouth. The best way to care for your teeth and gums is by using Spry. The Spry Dental Defense System has a wide variety of products, toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and chewing gums that are designed to work together to keep your teeth clean and mouth healthy and smelling sweet all day long. To get your oral care back on track in an easy, effective, and very tasty way, switch to Spry today. Ask your dentist about xylitol and the Spry products. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural product retailers.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You rejoin the Constitution study. Yes, this is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. You know, John Jay said that by reading the Constitution, we would know our rights and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. We'd recognize when they are violated. And I have another example of the corruptocracy that is Washington, D.C. Now, on July 26th, a legislation was proposed, a bill was proposed in the House to set term limits on U.S. Supreme Court justices. Now, you may think that's a good idea. You may think that's a bad idea. I want to look at the constitutional idea. So why was this bill submitted? Well, according to the sponsor, Representative Hank Johnson of Georgia, that he believes that the court faces a legitimacy crisis. Well, I do agree, but I'm sure not for the reasons he does. You see, the court for decades has been a political organ. They've been a super legislature where they have placed their opinions and their beliefs over the actual law that they have sworn to uphold. Now, Representative Johnson, who, by the way, is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee on Court, I'm sorry, Judiciary Subcommittee on Courts, said five of the six conservative justices on the bench were appointed by presidents who lost the popular vote, and they are now racing to impose their out-of-touch agenda on the American people who do not want it. This is according to a statement that he made. All right, let me just show how corrupt this is. I don't know that we've got six conservative justices. That's my personal opinion. I look at how they vote. But notice, he says that five or six of these justices were appointed by presidents who lost the popular vote. There is no popular vote for president. This is, again, the corruption that says of trying to turn America into a democracy. There is no popular vote for president. If you look at your ballot, you do not vote for president. You'd vote for electors for president. It's a very important distinction. He then goes on to say that they are racing to impose their out-of-touch agenda on the American people. Au contraire, Mr. Johnson. See, what they've been doing in this last session, at least of the cases I've reviewed, is actually applying the laws, in most cases, created by Congress, the very Congress you sit on, Mr. Johnson. You see, it's not the role of the courts to set up an agenda. That is the role of the House of Representatives. So when the House of Representatives fails to pass a law and the court says, okay, we don't have a law to apply, therefore we can't give an agency power that Congress didn't give it, that's not them placing their agenda, that's them placing your agenda, the agenda of Congress. When the court looks at it and says, you know what? This is what the supreme law of the land says. This is not a power delegated to the United States. Therefore, you cannot impose it. We cannot impose it. Remember, the Dobbs case said this was not a power delegated to the United States. The court was wrong when they imposed their agenda on the American people. So what you have is you, again, have, in this case, a member of the House of Representatives that is upset that the court, which has been decades being politicized, wasn't politicized the way he wants. Now, there's been plenty of talk of packing the court to do so. I've talked about it in the past. Packing the courts goes all the way back to John Adams in 1800. Right? But now he says, oh, I know what we'll do. We'll simply impose term limits on those justices. Well, again, there's just one itsy-beatsy, teeny-weeny little problem. It's called the Constitution of the United States. It's the supreme law of the land and would supersede any nonsense Mr. Johnson and his ilk would attempt to impose by legislative fiat. You see, Article 3, Section 1 says the judges, both of the supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their office during good behavior. Now, if Mr. Johnson wants to implement term limits on justices, he can't simply do it via legislation. He must do it via constitutional amendment. But we're not going to bother with that because our corruptocracy thinks that just because Congress says so, that makes it true. I would like to remind Mr. Johnson and the rest of his ilk that the Supremacy Clause says the Constitution and laws of the United States made pursuant thereof are the supreme law of the land. This is not pursuant thereof. It's called the Term Act. And it basically says, let's look at some of this nonsense. It says, the president shall, during the first and third years after a year in which there is a presidential election, nominate and bind with the advice and consent of the Senate, appoint one justice of the Supreme Court. There's just one problem. The power of nomination is not a power delegated to the Congress. The power to nominate is solely the president's and at the president's discretion. So when it says that the president shall not appoint any justice of the Supreme Court except as provided in this section, again, a violation of the Constitution of the United States. It goes on. Each justice shall serve in regular active service for 18 years from the date of the justice commission, after which the justice shall be deemed to have retired from regular service, active service under section 371. No, I'm sorry. Justices serve for the duration of their good behavior. Now, here's the biggest problem. You see, I should say the biggest problem. If Mr. Johnson actually wanted to follow the Constitution, if he thought that the justices were serving too long, that was bad behavior, all he'd have to do is file articles of impeachment and get the House to pass them and then have a trial in the Senate. But you see, Mr. Johnson doesn't like the way the political arm of the political whims of the court have changed, because the elected presidents have appointed different people who don't think the way he does. He simply wants to change the rules. Notice, every time somebody calls for term limits, it's because they are not getting their way. They are losing at something. This has nothing to do with the legitimacy of the court. This has everything to do with the Democratic Party not getting their way in the last several opinions. They want to change rules. This is a legislative temper tantrum. Nothing more, nothing less. I would go so far as to say, if I lived in Representative Johnson's district, this, ladies and gentlemen, is proof that he is incapable of holding this office. He is disqualified for this office to suggest such foolish and ridiculous legislation. He's a political partisan hack, and he wants to turn the Supreme Court into a rubber stamp of the Democratic progressive agenda. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is part of my definition of a corruptocracy. But this corruptocracy, you would not believe how far and wide this corruptocracy spreads. Let me give you some examples. The Senate just passed a bill to bribe American companies to produce computer chips. Yes, bribe. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a flat-out bribe with your money. See, this bill includes $52 billion of your money that they want to give U.S. companies for producing computer chips, as well as tax credits to invest in chip manufacturing. And it also provides funding to, quote-unquote, spur innovation and development of other U.S. technologies. I want you to notice several things right off the bat. This is your money. This isn't magic mushroom money. This is your money. And they're using it in a way not authorized by the Constitution. First of all, part of the reason U.S. companies moved their chip manufacturing overseas was the cost of doing business in America, in large part because of federal regulations. So the federal government imposes regulations on these companies to push them overseas. And then when there's a problem, they then pay them with your money, bribe them to come back to the United States. But you may say, Paul, isn't that the purpose of Congress, you know, to do all this stuff? Well, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, that says Congress has the power to lay and collect taxes only for three things. To pay the debts of the United States. Is this the debt of the United States? No, they're going to borrow money to do this. For the common defense of the United States. Is this the common defense of the United States? Not really. I mean, okay, some of these chips may end up in weapons that our government uses, but that's not why they're doing this. They're doing this because, with all the supply chain nonsense, the disaster that came out of a lot of the federal regulations, they, you know, all of a sudden you couldn't get cars and dishwashers and whatnot because of the chip supply. So now they're going to bribe people. That's not the common defense. And of course, they can also collect taxes to pay for the general welfare of the United States. But you see, this isn't for the general welfare of the United States. This is for the general welfare of U.S. chip manufacturing companies. They are bribing them with your money. But Paul, they're supposed to, you know, help invest in new technologies and stuff like that. No, they are not. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1. Congress has the power to promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. That's copyright and patents, ladies and gentlemen. That's not throwing away your money. But what we have here is a corruptocracy, where, as de Tocqueville said, the America will exist until Congress realizes it can bribe the American people with their own money. That's what this is. This is, oh, we made a boo-boo, we made a mess, we have a problem, we've driven all the chip manufacturing offshore, and now we set in policies that help disrupt the supply chain, so we're going to bribe you by bringing these jobs in with your own money. And of course, government's got to take its cut off the top. This is a corruptocracy. If this was anything but government, it would be considered organized crime. That's right. I just compared the U.S. government to the mafia. Because if this was a private organization doing this, it would be considered organized crime. They are taking your money by force for uses we did not authorize, to bribe our people to come back to this country that without our authority to do so. These are not just powers. The Declaration said that government's only just powers come from the consent of the governed. We did not consent to this in the Constitution. The Constitution forbids this when the 10th Amendment says a power not delegated to the United States doesn't belong to them. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a corruptocracy. And we are paying the price. And these are only a few of the examples of the way our corrupted government steals from us each and every day. They steal our money, they steal our land, they steal our property, they steal our rights. This is a corrupt organization. Now, many people may look at this and say, oh, well, you know, what can we do? Burn it all down. I don't think we have to do that. I think all we really need to do is learn the way this is supposed to work. See, I use the term corruptocracy based on corrupt for a reason. Noah Webster defined corrupt as to change from a sound to a putrid or putrescent state. That's what's happened in America. We have changed from a sound to a putrid state. That's the way our government has moved. Now, if it's gone from sound to putrid, the question is, can we take it from putrid back to sound? Most of you have probably heard the story about how penicillin was found. A mold was left in a petri dish, and the scientists came in and saw that where the mold was, there was in this petri dish of putrid bacteria. They found where the mold was, there was a ring of soundness around the mold, driving out the putrid. We need to do the same thing. We need the Constitution to be the penicillin for their infection, our putrid state, our corruptocracy that we call our federal government, in many cases our state, and even our local governments. But just like that petri dish, you know, didn't get all cleaned up at once. It was little spots of soundness in a sea of putrid. We need to do the same thing with the Constitution. We need to focus locally. That's why I'm traveling the country this year, focusing on the blessings of liberty and how the Constitution can restore that by taking this penicillin, this solution to our corruption, and not trying to apply it at the federal level. No, let's apply it at the local level. Let's have little spots of soundness in this country. And as those areas grow and multiply and join together, we end up with not simply counties and localities and cities that are sound, but we have states that become sound. And when the states become sound, well, then we can end up with our nation being sound. But it starts locally. Now, if you want to help me, if you want to join in, go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. If I'm coming to a location near you, please I'd love you to join us and learn a little bit about how we restore the blessings of liberty to this country. Now, if I'm not coming to a location near you, then fill out the form and ask me to. You don't have to have an event already created. We'll put one together. You don't have to have everything figured out. You don't even have to have a big venue. But let's find a spot where we can get together and we can share the blessings of liberty, use the Constitution to restore them spot by spot throughout this nation. Now, maybe you can't join me. Maybe you can't set up an event. Can you support me financially? I don't charge to do these events. Some places have been kind and they've donated lodging and whatnot. But for the most part, this is all coming out of my own pocket. So if you can help me, there's a donate form there as well. And help me bring this to more locations without looking to sell this. I don't want this to be a money-making venture. This is bringing the news to the people. Yes, I sell my books there, but that is not the main focus of what I'm doing. So if you can help me, again, financially, by spreading the word, by letting other people know, I would appreciate that greatly. And in fact, you can also spread the word that others can listen to the Constitution Study weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio network. You can listen on our media player or on our apps for Apple, Android, or Alexa. You can also listen on podcasts or on all the favorite podcast apps, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcast, anywhere. Please subscribe and leave me a rating on Apple Podcasts if you can. You can find all the links at the homepage at AmericaOutLoud.com. Share them. Help us share the blessings of liberty from sea to shining sea.